Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Arctic front of free speech because they're expecting 4.5 inches of snow in Louisiana. Wow. So it's cold out there. To go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by. We've got Mark Collett with us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. I hope you're not chilly where you are. We've had a bit of snow, but it's all gone now. And I've got to say, Trump getting in and his inauguration. Now, it wasn't the big spectacle that it was the first time. First time around, it was this big outdoor thing. It was a giant spectacle. Obviously, this time it was much smaller. And in the run-up to his inauguration, I was getting more and more annoyed by him. You know, here he is coming into office, and what's he pushing? Well, he's pushing all of this sort of rubbish about his own cryptocurrency and his wife's cryptocurrency, and I'm like, oh, this is shameless. You know, the man's coming to power. He's taking office, or he's assuming the seat of office, and this office is widely regarded as the office of the most powerful man on the entire planet, and here he is running a cryptocurrency just before. I was like, and he's a billionaire, it's not like he's short of cash. So I was like, this is quite shameless. This is something that I would say was embarrassing. And I thought to myself, I've been quite negative about him since his election, and I do feel that he's somewhat gone back on a lot of his promises. And I also feel that with the crypto stuff, he's been pretty damn shameless. And I was like, well, the inauguration is going to be a bit of a bust. And this is probably us set now, you know, us set for a Trump presidency, pumping the cryptos, letting us down, and everything being a bit of a damp squib. And I was like, so what's he done when he's got in? What's he actually doing then on his first day? And so it's the 21st today, so it's his first day. And I heard that there was going to be sort of 100 executive orders on his first day. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is quite interesting. 100 executive orders on his very first day. I was like, I wonder what these could possibly be. You know, are they going to be good? Are they going to be bad? You know, what are they going to relate to? Is this going to be about migration? Is this going to be about border control or the Dreamers? Or what could it be about? And I thought, well, I'm not going to hold my breath because of all the aforementioned stuff that I've just exhaustively listed. I'm not going to hold my breath. And then I see this on the BBC this morning, something I never expected to see. And I'm just going to quote. Trump declares border emergency and seeks to end US birthright citizenship. Well, here's Donald Trump on his first day in office signing an executive order to end US birthright citizenship. Now, obviously, birthright citizenship is if you're born on the soil, you are a citizen, you have a passport, and you can stay. And this is a problem for two reasons. One, it means that if people, let's just say a family from, I don't know, Ghana, flew to the US and landed on US soil, and the woman was heavily pregnant, and 2 days later she pops out a little baby, that baby is a US citizen. But worse still, the courts tend to say, well, if the baby is a citizen, its parents get a right to stay. And at that point, these Ghanaians who have just arrived, mum, dad and child, are effectively all staying in the US then, for, you know, the parents for at least 18 years, and at that point they're going to get citizenship anyway, and the child for life. And let's say, you know, it's mum, dad and two existing kids, and the baby is born on US soil. Well, at that point, you've basically got five Ghanaians who are effectively living in America for the rest of their lives, effectively becoming citizens. And this has been a huge problem in terms of advancing the demographic decline of people of European descent in America, to the point now where people classed as European only in America are under 60% of the population. And by 2040, they are currently based on existing data, not based on if this goes through, but based on existing data, projected to be a minority before 2040. And I would imagine that people of European descent in America are already a minority, probably in schools and in in babies' cribs in maternity wards. But this would be something that would cause a massive change. I wasn't expecting this. This is what I think you and I talked, didn't we, about Trump being this wild card candidate. And he's one of those people that can disappoint you in one breath, and the next morning you can wake up and he has you punching the air. And it's kind of almost prophetic. We talked about that previously, because this is what he's done. I mean, I'm blown away by this. I'm not sure whether he'll get it through. I am sure it's going to meet absolutely incredible resistance from the Democrats, probably from many Republicans, and also from the courts. But as an act on the first day, this seems to be a statement of intent. And also, it seems to be, if it is a statement of intent, whew, we're in for a roller coaster ride over the next 4 years, aren't we?
Well, we are. And so the birthright citizenship, this is part of the 14th Amendment, but it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States and the state where and of the state wherein they reside. So the key is this clause, and under the and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. What does that mean? Well, you have a guide to what it means, partly in the debate over this amendment while it was being debated in Congress before it got passed. There was a debate on who this would be applied to. So, for instance, in the 1860s, this was adopted. I think it was 1867. It was after the Civil War. Maybe it was it was more or less. It was immediately after the Civil War, which ended in 1865, and so maybe this was debated on in 1865 and then ratified by the prerequisite number of states by 1867, something like that. At any rate, it clearly, at that time in the 1860s, you still had large numbers of Indian tribes who were just living their traditional life, especially in the Great Plains. The places like Montana and Idaho and North and South Dakota were not states at that time. They were territories. And you still had Indian tribes who were living their life, and they were not subject to American legal jurisdiction. So if there was a robbery, if there was a murder or anything like that going on in one of these Indian tribes, the United States wasn't getting involved. All right, so they weren't, and this was debated, and as a matter of fact, American Indians did not get citizenship until the 1920s, and there was very famous case of an athlete named Jim Thorpe who had been sent to the Olympics in, was it 1912 or so, or 1916? And he won gold medals, which later were stripped from him because it had been determined that once he had, like, I think he had won a cow or won some chickens in a race, and that made him a professional. But at any rate, he had been sent over representing the United States, even though he was not a U.S. citizen. He was an American Indian. He later made money in playing American football. So they were specifically not part of it. It was, and then also in the debate on birthright citizenship, it was discussed that diplomats, the children of diplomats who were born on U.S. soil, would not receive American citizenship because they had diplomatic immunity. They were immune from U.S. jurisdiction. You know, diplomats. In fact, I knew a woman whose fiance was hit hit by a car driven by a diplomat from the third world, from I think Papua New Guinea, and paralyzed for life. And they couldn't do anything to the diplomat because he had diplomatic immunity. He just went home. But I don't know if he was drunk or what, but it was his fault. So diplomats have immunity. They're immune from U.S. law. Their children don't get U.S. citizenship. So then what this is all going to revolve around is if somebody enters the United States illegally, are they subject to the jurisdiction thereof? And it's going to be very, very difficult. We'll see. The thing is, the traditional illegal alien snuck across the border, the wetback. They snuck across the border, and then they're just living in the United States. And you can make a good case that, well, they snuck across, and they're effectively fugitives, and so they're not living under the jurisdiction. Okay, you can make that case. That's probably an easier case to make. But what's common, especially in amongst these people who came over in the Biden years, but even before, what's very common is they walk across the border, and then they have an encounter with U.S. Border patrols who issue them a letter to appear in court at some point, you know, and it can be years in the future. Well, if somebody has received a letter ordering them to come to court, are they under the jurisdiction of the United States? And so that's really what the issue is going to revolve around. And maybe the Trump administration will say they aren't under the jurisdiction until they've appeared in court and, you know, some determination's been made. And the immigrant advocates are going to say, no, as soon as they've received that letter, they're under the jurisdiction. They've been ordered to come to court, so they're under the jurisdiction. This is the type of issue it's going to revolve around. But you know, the 14th Amendment, it's there, and I think applying this to illegal aliens, giving the children of illegal aliens citizenship, I'm not sure when that was formalized. It might have been in the mid 20th century. It might have been during the Truman administration. I'm not quite sure. Last thing I'll say before I kick it back to you is, following Truman, the next president from 1953 to 1961 was Dwight D. Eisenhower, who carried out a massive deportation of Mexicans called Operation Wetback. And this is something that that Trump has referred back to often. So I'll kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, I'm not obviously sure what's going to happen, but what I am sure of, or what I can confidently state, is that this is a positive start to the Trump presidency. You know, Trump has come in and he seems to be doing the opposite of what he was in the run-up to him taking over. So in the run-up to him taking over, he seemed to very much be thinking to himself, or what I could see thinking to himself, was, look, we need to backpedal on things. You know, you had the Elon Musk H-1B thing. Was all that a feint? Were they pretending that they were going to be more liberal in order to ensure there wasn't any challenges to Trump taking the presidency? I don't know. You know, what were they doing? You know, you have Elon Musk on stage doing what clearly appears to be sort of a Nazi salute. It all seems very strange. But obviously the strangest part of this is, you know, this is Donald Trump, and he appears, you know, for better or for worse, for better in my opinion, to actually be doing something truly radical. Now, I would, you know, freely admit that I would think that Trump would have potentially, you know, worked towards something. And we said this on your show, some deportations. But it seemed that the deportations were very much going to be, well, we're going to be deporting people who are in America illegally committing illegal acts. And that seemed to be the length and breadth of it. Yet here we are now, and it seems to be, you know, sort of quite the opposite, that in fact, Trump is willing to go all out and say, right, we're stripping birthright citizenship. Now, I want to make this clear. because this is very important. If he was to strip birthright citizenship, what would that mean? Well, when laws are passed, I'm not going to say never, but very rarely is any law retroactive. So, for example, if tomorrow the American government said, right, we are banning the sale of all petrol vehicles in America because we think petrol vehicles are bad for the environment, and you know we're going full out on we need to be climate sensitive. That could happen. In fact, the UK government are trying to do something like that. They're trying to, by a certain date, ban the sale of all new petrol and diesel, you call them gasoline and kerosene, but all new vehicles that run on petroleum or we call it petrol or diesel, anything that runs on fossil fuel, they are trying to ban by, I think it's 2030. So they will be banning all new sales of vehicles that run on that technology by 2030. That's their big thing. Now, what you couldn't do is say, right, we're banning all sales of petrol and diesel cars. You sold a petrol car 2 years ago. Therefore, you're going to be in court, Sonny Jim, because we don't let that kind of stuff fly around here. Well, that's not how it works. You can't, you cannot make that retrospective. You can't say, well, we're banning the sale of petrol and diesel cars and you sold one 2 years ago, thus you are going to jail. That is absolutely not how it works. And that means that everybody who already has benefited from birthright citizenship would continue to benefit from birthright citizenship. It would just mean there is no birthright citizenship going forward. So if there's, 20 million Americans at the moment who, over the last, I don't know how many years, have just benefited from birthright citizenship, they will retain that birthright citizenship. This is not going to be something that leads to deportations. They're not going to be saying, well, look here, all these children that were granted citizenship, that's now being revoked. They couldn't do that. And I don't think they would. I don't think they would even try to do that. And I think that's a very important point to make, because obviously, we're talking about how the law works. And I think the law works in a very, very specific way. So this would just affect people going forward from this date. So currently, until this is challenged, I assume this becomes law immediately, as it's a presidential decree, and they will now be able to challenge that in court. And I'm sure a challenge will be coming immediately. I can imagine that a challenge of that is coming immediately. So I would say, fundamentally, that what we will see moving forward is, quite a robust challenge to that, I should imagine, quite a robust challenge. It's going to be, I should imagine, it will be very, very interesting going forward. But it does certainly put a different sort of tint on what we're expecting from Trump over the next 4 years. Because I wouldn't have thought myself that he would have gone in hard like this on day one, or ever for that matter. I wouldn't have pegged, this wouldn't have been on my bingo card, let's say. So I don't know what you think, Patrick. Was it on your bingo card?
Well, I mean, there had been all this talk of Trump signing a whole slew of executive orders, 100 maybe, but a whole slew of executive orders on day one. So actually, I'm not surprised that I'm not really taken off guard that he has signed this particular order. I don't think I don't know if the contents of it are public yet. The BBC article that you mentioned didn't say exactly what the contents of this particular executive order was, but at any rate, I'm sure you're correct in that to try to apply it retroactively is a bridge too far.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
But at any rate, I'm sure you're correct in that to try to apply it retroactively is a bridge too far. That would really be tough to try to revoke the citizenship of children who have benefited from this. You do have tons of families where the younger members were born in the United States and are deemed U.S. citizens, and older members have different statuses. In many cases, they don't have legal status. There's just tons and tons of families like this. It's an issue. And during the vice presidential debates, when Vance was asked about it, he dodged the question. He said, well, we're going to be first looking at people who commit serious crimes in the United States. But the thing is, Trump's border czar, which is a position that doesn't really have legal authority, it's basically just a high profile advisor, but he was formerly the what's his name, something Homan, I can't remember his first name, but it's something Homan, maybe it's Mike Homan, and he was formerly the head of the Immigration Naturalization Service or something like that, I think he was, but he's saying that the illegal alien parents that we deport, sure, they can take their children with them. They can take their American-born children with them. So it's not a matter of tearing families apart. No, they can take their U.S. citizen children with them when we deport them. So we'll see how that this works out. If you were to use 8 years ago as a guide, 8 years ago when Trump issued, say, the ban on immigration from seven Muslim countries, some obscure judge, I think he was like Chinese American or something, some obscure judge from either Maryland or Washington State just issued an injunction, said you can't do that. And the first time Trump was president, every time some obscure judge issued an injunction, it's like, oh, well, there's an injunction. We can't do anything about it. I don't know about this time how this is going to go. Whether is he just going to back down every time an obscure judge from some lowest rung federal court issues an injunction? Is he just going to follow it? That was Trump 8 years ago. I don't know how it's going to play out this time. But I do think that he's learned some lessons from his first term. Has he learned the right lessons, and has he learned them well enough? That's what we'll find out. But yeah, that's where we are now. Now we're already 2/3 of the way into the show. I want to shift gears, if you don't mind, to this BBC program that was made about you. You sent me, you sent me the link to a BitChute video or Odyssey video that you made that included an entire BBC interview with you that's not been selectively edited, where the interviewer was trying to cast you and your organization as dangerous extremists, and you had answers for everything he was asking that really made him seem kind of like a pathetic, hysterical, girly man. So I'm going to kick it over to you. What was that all about?
Well, the BBC are screening a documentary tonight on BBC Wales, which is a blatant attempt to sway the government into changing the law and banning organisations like Patriotic Alternative. So really any organisation that raises the issues of mass immigration, multiculturalism, anti-white criminality, and then advocates for the rights of the indigenous people of these islands. Now, all of these things are obviously now set to this backdrop of the Southport murders. So it's kind of interesting that they're choosing to screen this now, because really what they're saying is, you know, hey, look, there's been all of these horrific crimes against white people, but the groups we've got to go for are the groups that advocate for white people. And, you know, we really do need to fight this, and we tend to fight this. So when we knew this documentary was being made, the first thing I did was say to the BBC, well, hey, if you're going to make a documentary about me, why don't I come to your studio? So I came to the studios, I did the interview, I secretly recorded the interview, I posted it online, and I think when you
hear it was a secret recording.
Yeah, I secretly recorded them. They love secretly recording me, so I thought, well, how about I secretly record them? And basically, what they're trying to do or trying to say is that, you know, fundamentally, we deserve that kind of treatment, but I think they deserve that kind of treatment. They deserve to be shown up for who they really are, and who they really are is an anti-white organization that basically does its best to demonize white people and to push multiculturalism and protect multiculturalism. And I knew that if I went and did an interview, I was putting my money on me. You know, I was confident enough going into that interview that I was going to win. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to win this. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to wipe the floor with them. But they're going to selectively edit that to remove all my best bits. So I thought, I'm going to record this just like the secret recorders. I'm going to put it online.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government. But truth, like freedom, isn't free. The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to win this. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to wipe the floor with them. But they're going to selectively edit that to remove all my best bits. So I thought, I'm going to record this just like the secret recorders. I'm going to put it online before their documentary goes live. And I'm going to make sure that everybody who's a supporter of me sees this beforehand and understands what the BBC are getting at. So as a response, the BBC have actually released the documentary earlier. It was meant to go live tonight at 9 o'clock on BBC Wales. Instead, it's gone live this morning on iPlayer, and people are already watching it. And the BBC have lied, and they have misrepresented people in Patriotic Alternative and anti-migration protesters by taking their comments, their words out of context. And we're going to fight for those people. We're not throwing people under the bus. We're going to fight for those people. Now, obviously, you know, the fact is our organization has a code of conduct, and if people have broken that code of conduct, you know, there will be, you know, we have that code of conduct in place to protect our members. You know, that is a serious thing. But we're not simply dancing to the BBC's tune. We believe in freedom of speech, and we are a peaceful political organization, and we're not taking this lying down.
Okay, so you're saying that the BBC's documentary, it aired yesterday, was that it, or this morning for the first time?
Well, it aired the first time this morning. It was meant to air at 9 p.m. It was meant to air 9 p.m. today, but they released it early, which I think is a response to me humiliating them by releasing that, my secret recording, early.
What kind of response have you gotten from you releasing the secret recording? How many?
Oh, amazing. I mean, It's been seen nearly 10,000 times on my Odyssey, about 3,000 times on my BitChute, about the same amount on my Rumble. So sort of 15, probably about 15,000 times on my platforms. But it's been re-uploaded to Twitter, and it's been seen well over 100,000 times on just one single upload on Twitter. So what you've actually got here is a situation where people are watching this and they are absolutely appalled by what is going on, and they can see that they are, you know, that you can see that they are stitching us up. You can see that they are doing their best to silence us. And I am pretty damn pleased that people are, you know, uploading this stuff and are basically going full bore for the BBC for being the liars that they are. And, you know, I'm sure that anyone that listens to my interview with the BBC will be pretty much overwhelmed by the responses I gave and the fact that I didn't give up. I just kept fighting. I kept fighting, and I did my absolute best to ensure that, we're going to fight this the whole way.
You seem to have an answer for everything, and the interviewer's position seemed to keep going back to, can't you see that there are people that are associated with you somehow who are saying things in private conversations that if they were overheard, a mentally ill person might then be motivated to do something illegal. Can't you see that? And of course, what the BBC does is they publicly defame white people constantly and incite animosity against white people nonstop. This is what the media in the United States does. The media and academia, they're constantly inciting animosity against white people, which leads to all sorts of crimes. Whereas this interviewer, his thing is like, well, maybe if somebody overheard what you guys were saying in public. Oh, and the main one other difference is so much of what we are we still there?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. So much of what is said in the media about white people is unfair or untrue. But, you know, if somebody in a private conversation says, look, you know, 50% of the murders in the United States are committed by black people, which is factually true. But if somebody overhears this, they might that might stoke racial animosity. Well, if the threat of the truth stoking racial animosity is such a horrible thing. Well, how about unfair, untrue, twisted narratives that the BBC and other media propagates willingly? That has stoked all sorts of racial animosity and has burned American cities to the ground.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Patrick, because part of the thrust of this documentary is that fundamentally, you know, our words are going to stoke racial tensions, and that they want us arrested for our words. And that's obvious. But this is the interesting bit. In a UK court, or sort of in an English court, if you are in an English court, very unfortunate for you, because in an English court, the truth is no defence. So if you get taken to court in England for some kind of race-related crime, and what you rely on as evidence is proved in court to be true, it doesn't make a difference. They will say, well, it doesn't matter that you were telling the truth. The issue is that what you were saying, despite it being truthful, is essentially incitement, because what you're saying, even if it is true, might cause somebody to take a dislike to these other people over here. Now, once you're walking down that road, you're in a position where fundamentally free speech is already dead, because the whole fundamental, you know, the whole fundamental of free speech is that, that essentially if what you're saying is true, if what you're saying is, not a lie, but actually, in fact, the truth, and you are then, or you should then be protected by that. That is something that should be protected speech. True speech should be protected speech. Now, obviously, if you're lying about people, you know, if you went to a public meeting and said, you know, the village church has been burnt down by these Africans and it wasn't true, well, yeah, I can see then where you might fall foul of the law. You know, you're going out there and you're spreading lies about somebody. But if, in fact, the village, you know, the village church has been burned down by black people, and you say, look, these are the people that burnt it down. Well, in Britain, somebody might say, well, that's inciting racial hatred. Telling people that the village church was burnt down by ethnic minorities in Britain would be seen as inciting racial hatred. And if you incited racial hatred, even if it was true what you said, you will still be done for incitement. Now, at that point, you are in a position where you're in a hiding to nothing, essentially, regardless of what you do. Because even if everything you say is 100% factual, it makes no difference in the eyes of the law. So at that point, you've already lost when you go into court. And I've actually been in courtrooms where judges, in fact, I've been in courtrooms for my own, you know, trial of, you know, when I was on trial, where a judge has said, you know, as you retire, I would like to remind the jury that, you know, if everything that Mr. Collett has said is factual, that is no defense. The truth is no defense. And if what he has said is factual, but you believe it was inciting racial hatred or intending to incite racial hatred, then you must find him guilty. Now, at that point, you are living under a system of complete and total tyranny.
The truth being no defense. Okay, so the BBC documentary just got aired. I guess it's too early to know how what kind of response it's getting, but you feel that the intent of this is to rein your group in, because your group isn't breaking laws, it's difficult to rein you in. So if you're not breaking laws and they can't rein you in that way, then they want to change the laws. I want you also to remind my audience about Sam how do you say his last name? Melia?
Sam Melia.
Who did not break laws but is in jail.
Yeah, he did not break any laws. The police admitted that the stickers he produced were lawful. None of the phrases or words on those stickers breached the law, but he's in jail because they said he used lawful speech as a way of inciting racial hatred. So everything he said was lawful, everything he said was true, but they believe he used those true and lawful what they said is that his intention when using those true and lawful statements was to stir up racial hatred. So at that juncture, you're in a position where you can't actually win, can you? You've said everything you've said is lawful, everything you've said is true, but they believe that in your mind you are using that lawful and truthful speech to stir up hatred, or intended to stir up hatred. That's the important thing, intended. They couldn't prove with Sam that it stirred up any hatred because there was no examples of it stirring up hatred. That's what they do. And at that point, you're in a position where you essentially automatically lose. There is no winning. And there's no winning because they've designed it in such a crooked way that if they want to go for you, they can go for you. And they will no doubt want to go for me. And if they go for me, I am pretty sure that they will do everything in their power to make sure I go to jail for somewhere between 2 and 7 years. Those are the stakes in this game, you know, a maximum of 7 years. So you know, and serving 7 years in jail for saying something that was truthful and lawful may seem insane. I would say it's insane, but that is what passes for justice at the moment in the United Kingdom. And in Scotland it's even worse, because what people don't realize, or a lot of people don't realize, is Britain is actually not a country. Britain is a union of nations. Great Britain is England, Scotland and Wales, and the United Kingdom is England, Scotland and Wales plus Northern Ireland. So there are several different legal jurisdictions. There's a separate jurisdiction in Northern Ireland, a separate jurisdiction in Scotland, and a jurisdiction for England and Wales. And the worst thing about this is in Scotland, it is now illegal to say things in your own home. So you can actually be prosecuted for a private conversation in your own home in Scotland. That is how far things have gone. This is not a free country. It's an absolute tyranny.
Wow. Now, I'm going to tie this into a bit of what we were talking about the first half of the show. Donald Trump, I mentioned his executive orders from 8 years ago. He had an executive order banning immigration into the United States from seven countries. Seven, I think maybe one was an African country that wasn't Muslim, but basically seven Muslim countries. And it was struck down by some, there was an injunction from a lower tier federal judge. And the thing is, the president of the United States under the law clearly has the ability to ban immigration from countries for national security purposes. And the judge said that, well, while he has the legal authority, his intent was illegal because his intent was racist. He wasn't really motivated by national security. He was actually motivated by racism. And so they were able to, this judge said he could, he knew what was in the president's heart or in his mind. His intent was bad. And that's the same thing that Sam Milieu was, like the stickers that he produced were all legal, but somehow the court was able to say, well, we know what he was thinking. So it really was a thought crime, right? We know what his intent was. His intent was bad. His intent was illegal, even though his actions were all legal. So, and this was a point that you made a number of times, that everybody who was in legal trouble from your organization, they were, it was for speech crimes or for thought crimes, right? That you were making that case.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody who has, well, firstly, everybody who has been found guilty of some kind of speech or thought crime from my organization was found guilty of something that they had done before they were ever a member of PA. And in fact, in some cases, before PA even existed. So that tells you quite a bit about what they're going for here. You know, they're going for an attack on us based on very, very disingenuous lines. So Sam Melia, with these stickers, which were lawful, but they were long before PA existed. That was his organization called the 100 Handers, and they went after him, you know, before PA actually existed. Then you also have the attack on a guy called James Costello. Again, James Costello went to jail for 5 years for stuff that he said online. Again, before PA existed, we had nothing to do with that. And then Sven Longshanks, again, he went to jail for stuff he said on Radio Aryan, which was something that existed before PA existed. So what you've got here is a constant attack on our organization. And that attack on our organization is done in numerous disingenuous, you know, numerous disingenuous ways. And one of those disingenuous ways is to say, well, this guy was a member of your organization who was found guilty of an unrelated crime that took place before your organization existed. You know, and you're putting up with this on a constant, you know, constantly. This is something that happens on a constant basis to nationalists here in the UK. And at the moment, the group that I'm involved in, the group that I founded, is the prominent nationalist group of the day. So we are attacked. If tomorrow we were outlawed and we were banned, they would go after other groups. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, I'm not saying we're the be-all and end-all, but this is what happened. You know, when the British National Party was an organisation that was a going concern, the government changed the law to try to force the British National Party out of existence. And they tried to do that, you know, in a couple of different ways. Now, one of those ways was changing the law in regards to organizations and whether those organizations were allowed to have a whites-only membership policy. And to join the BNP, you had to be of European descent. That was just the rule, you know. And just like to be, you know, a member of the Black Police Officers Association, you have to be a black police officer. You know, so it's pretty obvious. But they changed the law, and the BNP had to then change the way it operated. Now it would be illegal for any organization to be a whites-only organization. And I'm pretty sure what they want to do here is change the law so that organizations are not allowed to talk about.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Whites only organization. And I'm pretty sure what they want to do here is change the law so that organizations are not allowed to talk about things such as mass immigration. And for quite a while, not just in the UK, but in other European countries, there has been discussion of outlawing criticism based on what they call migration status. So what they want to have is a system whereby, let's say, a migrant rapes a white girl. And I use that example for obvious reasons, because that is something that does happen. It's something we all know happens. And it's something that, you know, we've seen happen all too often. But let's say that does happen. they would say, well, okay, that can be reported as a rape, but if you were to discuss the perpetrator's migrant status when discussing the rape, that would then be illegal. So what you would actually end up with is a system where you could not talk openly or freely or fairly about really anything, because if you were to actually mention issues to do with anyone's race or ethnicity, you would immediately, and I mean immediately, come under this incredible weight of legal scrutiny. So it's not really about banning an organization. You know, people are talking about, like, oh, well, what if they ban PA? What if they do this? What, you know, what would a PA ban truly mean? And yeah, it is about banning PA, but it's not about banning them by just bringing in a law where they say, hey, this law is to exclusively ban Patriotic Alternative because we hate Mark Collett, and boom, there we go. That's the end of it. One and done. We're finished. We're out. Get on with your lives. That isn't what they intend to do. What they intend to do is say, we are going to change the law in a way which would outlaw Patriotic Alternative. And you might say to yourself, well, okay, well, Patriotic Alternative gets outlawed then. But that would essentially outlaw any organization like ours. And our organization is an Indigenous rights advocacy group. And if it was to be outlawed, you would essentially be outlawing Indigenous rights advocacy. That would be it.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a real dangerous step forward, because what you're saying now is that every other racial group currently can lawfully advocate for their rights, and so can white people. However, pro-white advocacy is merely frowned upon and demonized. But this would move the needle to the point where every other racial group can organize and advocate for themselves, except white people, because that would be specifically forbidden.
Right. Wow. Well, thank you for telling us about that. We've run out of time, but and so remind people, well, they can see your the complete interview. They can, there's no video to it. You can hear the complete interview on your BitChute, Odyssey, and Rumble channels, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure, and I hope everyone enjoyed the show.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Folks, this is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, dixierepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.